This is Jennifer Miller with We Care for Students, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Welcome into this interview, everybody. This is Jason DeZurek, and so glad you are tuning in today. Have a wonderful guest in, and before we get to that, though, we just want to encourage you to go to worldviewwarriors.org for new blogs and podcasts and such, and also go to donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com for more with what we're doing with audio and everything there, and just to encourage you with all that you do. Our guest today is an author. His book is about stress, and it's a condition most people know little about until its dramatic effects take charge of their lives. It can manifest itself in simple, inappropriate behaviors toward others, or oneself, or one another, and ourselves, or reach the more intense impact through mood disorders, addiction, and physical illness. The book we're going to talk about is wonderful. My guest, though, has more than 38 years of clinical experience as a psychotherapist and consultant. He has treated thousands of clients for issues including childhood disorders, fractures in marriages and couples relationships as well, family conflicts, parent-child conflicts, even chemical dependency, friends. His name is Dr. Stephen Heyman, and he has also done extensive work with mood disorders, schizophrenia, and anxiety disorders. Friends, he has a long list of education as well, but let's just get right into the interview. If you want to find out more information about him while this interview is going on, I encourage you, go to greatinsight.net. That is greatinsight.net. And Dr. Stephen Heyman, we welcome you into the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And Dr. Heyman, let's just jump right into it. Your book is called Stress, Climbing Out of the Pits with God. Can you just talk about your book a little bit?
Yeah, I could talk about it a lot.
I'm sure you can.
Now, time is not going to permit it. But people have asked me why. I was at Fort Benning's just the other day in Georgia.
Okay.
And so the question came up from some military families, why did you write this book? And I said, well, I had gone through quite a bit of things where I lost everything. I lost my health. I lost my perspective. I lost my family. I lost what I thought were important to me, my house, my cars, and things like that. The doctor said that I wasn't going to live, and essentially I lived. And after God revived me and allowed me to get refocused, I wanted to know this entity that had spared my life and had been in church all of my life. I mean, maybe a moment or two when I sort of deviated from church. But once I got that perspective, I started pursuing him to understand how he operated. And I knew him through my pastor, and I knew him through my parents, but I didn't know him for myself. And so someone asked me to do a workshop on stress, and I had been doing it for, at that particular time, about 20 years, but did not get the correlation between psychology and biblical principles. And I did the workshop. People really enjoyed it. They wanted more. I sat down to corroborate it, to strengthen the presentation, and lo and behold, a book came about. So the book came about simply because I wrote the book because I had experienced some things myself. And when you write, particularly when you write from experiences as opposed to vicariously to patients or something that you read, you write with more authority and it's more impactful. So the scenarios in the book, they're real-life situations. Some of them are germane specifically to me. However, you get a different perspective when you've gone through some things, particularly when you've lost so much. So the book itself serves as a mirror for many to see themselves so they can be empowered to combat the effects of stress. And it serves as a reflection so people can identify toxic and chaotic people to stay away from, because what they do is they drain life out of you. So that's essentially what the book was, why it was written, and what it is essentially about.
Okay.
I mean, there are a lot of topics there.
Oh,
18
yeah.
chapters. Each chapter is a mini book. But if you don't mind, Jason, we talk about the stress of, first of all, we talk about what it is, coping with stress, and then we talk about how alcohol can affect stress, how alcohol use and abuse, how religion can be a source of stress. We also talk about blaming others and not taking responsibilities for the things going on in our lives. We talk about the usage of drugs and abuse of drugs and how they can contribute to stress and pornography. And we also talk about comparing ourselves with others or envy or imitation limitations. Or we talk about unforgiveness and how it encapsulates us or entraps us in a time warp. And talk about anger in the book. And we talk about love, and we talk what it is and how it's defined and what should happen, and also why we choose the people we choose. We talk about fear. And then we top it off with solutions as to how to empower yourself to move forward and not allow stress to overcome you, but to direct it and channel it so you will be in control and not react to it. Because when we react to it, not only will it affect us mentally and emotionally, but it affects us physically, headaches, backaches, and et cetera, but spiritually, the quintessential us, how we look at life and how we react to people.
Right.
So,
yeah. The fact of the matter is, what happens with our spiritual body starts affecting our physical and mental body too, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's a holistic approach. And in fact, if we're going to address stress, we have to look at it from every dimension of our lives. So I say, well, okay, my finances. Well, if you only address your finances, there are going to be other things that's going to keep you from really succeeding and moving forward. So you need to move holistically. If I wanted to put my right foot out the door, my whole body will have to go. So that's how I look at this. In order for me to really handle stress, I have to mature holistically.
Yes, amen. I think that's wonderful. And friends, again, we're sitting down with Dr. Stephen Hayman, the author of Stress, Climbing Out of the Pits with God. And you can find that at greaterinsight.net. That's greaterinsight.net. And one thing that really stuck out with me here so far, Dr. Hayman, is you were talking about basically not blaming others for our circumstances, if you will. Hey, can you go into that a little bit more?
Absolutely. I would love to. When I blame you for what's going on with me, or I blame circumstances or situations in my life, then I'm operating from a position of weakness. In other words, I am saying you or whatever it is that I'm dealing with has control of my life. Well, a person who is really successful in life, they take responsibilities for their decision makings, their behaviors and attitudes. And so when people start blaming other things, as I said, it's a position of weakness. And so I am relegating you or it as being more in control of my life than me. The only thing I'm in control of in this life, whether I have a 2-year-old baby or whether I have an 81-year-old parent or people who work for me, the only person I'm in control of is me. I have influence, but influence is directly related to what I've established. So if I am going to work from a position of strength, then I need to govern my mind and my thoughts and my emotions and my actions on what I can control. I can't do it when I'm blaming you for what's going on with me.
Yes, I think that is very wise. And you know, too, you had talked about earlier that you have had losses in your life. Would you mind discussing one or two of those just so people can know, look, you've been through it too. You know what they're experiencing. And so, because there might be some people that just think, well, he's a doctor. He has no idea what I'm going through. Would you just mind, you know, being real with us?
Oh,
right now?
Absolutely. I'm 6'2 and a half. I'm 220 pounds. However, when I was sick unto death, I barely weighed 100 pounds. In fact, I was so close to death, I stunk with death.
Wow.
In the process of other things that were going on, I ended up losing my businesses. I had 3 exotic cars. I lost that. I lost my home. I lost my wife. I lost my children. I lost my means to an end, which was my practice, my job. I lost friends because everybody, when you're on top, everybody's with you. But when you're struggling, you can tell. The telltale signs are when people are going to be around you when you're at your lowest. And so I lost everything fathomable or unfathomable.
Okay.
Because I couldn't even remember. I couldn't even think in terms of what else I could lose, but things kept happening. Now, let me say, the reason why, in retrospect, the reason why those things happened is because, number one, either God was allowing things to happen to correct me, in the case it was to correct me, or he was preparing me for where he was taking me. I did not know I was going to be writing books or I was going to be before people, empowering them. But the circumstances in my life helped me to see life differently and to gather or garner what it was in order for me to be useful for other people. Because I'm really an instrument that God has chosen. Yes, he's allowed me to have the experience and the education, but he's also given me an insight. So although I lost quite a bit, I gained more than I lost.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting how God takes those times of our lives that, well, we don't like so much and makes pretty much a big pearl out of it, if you will, and just makes it wonderful.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.